This is the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk on every team in the NHL.
Calgary Flames fans, it's time for Flames Unfiltered. Entertaining and controversial hockey talk with your host, Brad Berube.
No hockey to watch? No sports to watch? Let's go to the bar and talk some hockey. Good evening, Calgary Flames fans. Time for another episode of Flames Unfiltered. I am the host of the show, Brad Berube, rolling on episode 54. April 10th, 2020. Still on quarantine. I'm still bored. Is there an end in sight? I want to think so. I'm not sure there is. My dog is tired of going on walks. My kids are getting super antsy. Family needs normalcy. Not a big drinker. But tonight, it's time to go to the bar. Shit. All the bars are closed. We better go to the virtual bar. Well, on the show tonight, we head to that virtual bar. It's time for a little barroom banter with John and Kyle from Oil Country Podcast. It's a little off course from our normal episode, but it is going to be a good time. And what, you know, we need a good time right now. After we get done at the bar, we'll wrap with a little Flames news, send you back to reality for another long, hard quarantine week. Let's get out of here. Let's head to the bar.
Balls can hurt, but yours don't have to. At Manscaped, we save balls. Prevent manscaping accidents with the Lawnmower 3.0, featuring skin-safe technology by Manscaped.
Get 20% off and free shipping when you use promo code THPN at manscaped.com. Your balls will thank you. Friday night, I'm actually mixing a drink.
Oh, nice.
I'm expecting a good show here with you guys. I'm excited to be visiting with you guys.
What do you do on
a Friday night? Usually you go to the bar and visit with your hockey friends or watch a hockey game, and we can't do that. So none of us can go to the bar. So I figured, well, I don't usually do it when I record, but I'm going to mix up a drink or two.
Let's get Brad nice and loose.
Yeah. I don't know if you need that.
We'll see if we can get you to confess your secret love of Connor McDavid or something.
I don't like McDavid that much, but I like your Dreisaitl.
Hey, Brad, even though
I'm a little crabby about his...
Brad, I'm just going to say I'll crack a beer to that, buddy.
All right. You know what I figured? Tonight's Friday night. Like, we can't go to the bar. I'd love to go to the bar and sit with you guys tonight, but we can't. So let's just kind of make this our barroom talk.
I'll be a hydro homie and keep drinking my water. I'm unfortunately at a workhouse and no beer, but you guys go hard.
Do you live in a dry county when you are out there?
Sorry?
Do you live in a dry county when you're out there pretty much?
Oh, no. I can't technically drink, like, due to, like, company rules because it's technically property, but I'll just leave
what
it
What people
that.
Do?
I think okay. based off my tone.
You're nobody probably, knows who you are. Nobody knows where you work. It's all good. We edit that shit out.
It'll be, like, the one time my one random owner will, like, listen to some random Oilers podcast.
He'll be like, I think that guy works.
I recognize that fucking rascal.
That guy works on the ring.
Only one person has that shitty of a voice. I know exactly who that is.
No, hopefully not. I'd definitely have some beers and stuff. I don't even think they would care. It's just more of a like liability rule, in my opinion.
It's understandable.
But anyway, so I do want to, like, kind of kicking us off here. as you guys are sipping on your first bevies of the evening.
Cheers.
I've noticed that we've talked a lot, Kyle and I have, about social media and kind of taking breaks. I know I've mentioned that a few times. You know, just kind of especially during this crisis, it gets people knocked down a little bit and can get a little bit depressing and overwhelming at times. So I've been taking breaks, but I pulled a couple of things that I wanted to talk about that I think were really more positive and kind of funny or good ideas on social media. So first off is, I'm sure you guys heard, McDavid is pairing with his trainer, Gary Roberts, and they're putting out like 15-minute workout videos, kind of designed for kids, but also like anybody can do them while they're in self-isolation or quarantine or anything like that, just to stay active. And I thought that was like such a good idea for one, even like you talk marketing or whatever, but are you guys doing anything to try and like stay somewhat active, like even just going for walks if it's low activity stuff, or what are you doing to try and kind of keep your sanity?
I've been going for walks a lot. I almost went golfing today, but it was a little chilly, but
golf courses are open down there.
Yeah, they're open, but you know what they're doing, and it's kind of clever. You can't take the pin out.
Right.
And they have like a, I don't know how the hell you'd even describe this. You know those noodles that you float in the swimming pool?
Yeah.
They put those in the hole. So your ball can just, it goes in, but it only sits in there just so you can grab your ball out.
You don't have to touch
the flag. You don't have to touch the flag.
Yeah,
and then you don't, you know, there's no rakes. And just so golf, and you can only go one per cart. So golf's going. It's just, it's freaking cold. Been kind of crappy weather here lately. Today was actually nice, but a little cold.
Yeah, it's still spring, I guess. But
yeah,
that is one thing I know that I've seen kind of be a hot topic in Alberta too, because our golf courses have been closed. And I know there's some golfers kind of pissed off about that, saying the same thing. Pretty much all the ideas you guys are implementing down there as like, why can't you just do that up here? Which I don't really know where I sit on that one, to be honest.
We're going
to
go crazy, though.
Safely, I don't see why it's an issue.
What if we're not talking coronavirus, are we? I'm not going
to.
No,
we're not going to get. We're sticking to the positive side.
No, I was going to say something, John, and then
we just talked for an hour before this.
I can't do it, John.
Let's steer us right away. Kyle, what have you been doing to stay active? So you mentioned the game nights with the misses.
Well, yeah, I also bought a kettlebell from Cambodia Tire, before.
Cambodia Tire, what's the joke there?
What's this kettlebell?
None of their shit comes from Canada, I guess, is the joke.
What's a kettlebell?
Canada Tire.
Canada Tire is, but what's a kettlebell?
A kettlebell is like, it has like one handle. It's like what Russians would swing in front of them, kind of. It's like an
a big weight.
I
know what you're talking about now.
Yeah, so we bought one of that. We're doing, you know, in-house workouts, kind of trying to keep somewhat active.
Things can kick your ass.
Are you doing the McDavid one, or?
No, I haven't looked at that, and I probably should. She has some workout program that she's been putting on, so doing that. But I know we've talked in the pre-show about kind of the amount of people that have been being out, right? And I've been going on walks as well. And today we went out just for, again, trying to keep somewhat, you know, proactive and staying just around our block, not going to like a park and trying to take part in everybody being in the same place. And man, it was like actually like trying to dodge everybody out was like a challenge. Like there was so many people out there that you were having to go on the street sometimes to avoid people at a reasonable distance, right? And kind of maintain that preventative contact.
Just hearing about that makes me so glad that I live in the suburbs of Edmonton when I am back at home.
Well, I do too. Like, I don't really live in the most populous area anymore. I moved out of downtown, and you know, it's still like, where do all of you people come from? But I guess, yeah, you're less than me.
But as this goes on, you guys.
If anybody didn't hear that, I'm sorry. John, yeah.
As this goes on, though, people are going to get more and more relaxed. I mean, with Edith's daughter.
Yeah, I think you're going to have your people that get like maybe even like more paranoid, I guess. And like, I think that's probably more the at-risk people, but I think you hit it right on the head, honestly. I think a lot of people are going to get more relaxed and I think people are getting stir crazy, and they're getting.
They are. We're going nuts, man. I mean,
yeah. I said the opposite to my girlfriend.
I said that
the majority of people are going to be going out into the public. Like the better it gets outside, the more nice it gets.
Yeah.
Like there's going to be an actual issue where are they going to have to enforce the amount of people that are going outside, right? Like
I think that's the same thing Brad's saying, that it's going to get like worse.
Sorry.
The more people are going to get.
How long can we do this, you guys? What if we're doing this in July?
Well, exactly. Right?
We're not. There's no way.
I think you're going to, honestly, I think Kyle hit her right on the head, though. You're going to have to enforce it. Like, it is what's going to have to happen.
I'm going
to
make
it. I think there's, like, the thing is, though, is it's so, like, is it annoying? Sure. Is it a bit of a pain in the ass? Absolutely. But it's really not that hard.
No.
To keep your distance for people. Like, Kyle, you mentioned in you're obviously in, like, a bigger city, even though you're in the suburbs, and there's a lot of people walking around. But, I mean, from my perspective anyways, and like, I don't know exactly what situation you're in out there, but everywhere I've been, other than going to like the grocery store, like inside somewhere, it's not that hard to just like maintain your distance from people.
Don't you guys, I don't know. I don't know. As this goes on, like I'm being very, very cautious because the last thing I want is for my kids to get it or my parents or whatever. But like, as this goes on, I mean, I just didn't think, this isn't hard, but it is life-altering, and people are selfish
sure.
and don't like life-altering things. So eventually it's going to get to the point where it's like, if this is going in July, I mean, people are going to be like, no.
I wonder if people get more used to it on the flip side, though.
Well,
like, maybe they slowly adjust, like, to try and be a little bit optimistic about it.
Boys, I'm just saying, like, John, you live in a province in Canada here that has, like, just, what is Alberta right now? Like, 1.8, 2 million people, somewhere around that range?
More than that, for sure.
Okay, sorry.
I can't remember, but I think it's, like, 4 or something. I don't know.
I know North Dakota is low population, too, but in that kind of, like, 1 to 2 million population range, right?
Yep.
Like,
yep.
Around there. Quebec, I know, is, like, 8.5-ish. And just from... Like, I don't want to even say selfishness because I was out today, right? I went for a walk.
It's okay to go for a walk.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, it's that point that you're saying it was hard to avoid people. Like, I'm not even in that big of a city. Like, yeah, sure, Montreal is the second biggest city in Canada. Like,
yeah.
for sure. But to America, does that even compare?
Not to the New Yorks or LAs, but like to every other city, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it's still a big city, but I mean, it's 4 million. I don't know, man.
There's a lot of people in a city. I mean, like that's a big city in my opinion.
But I would say like the ranging of that 4 million is like very outreach. Just like Vancouver is 700,000 in actual Vancouver, but the actual city is 1.5 or whatever, right?
Like way more.
But it goes forever and ever. I don't know, man. It's hard because just like you said, Brad, like me and my girlfriend, I don't have anybody around me that'll actually infect. My parents live on the other side of the country, so it's not like I'm worried about infecting them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to take the proactive personal humanity approach and not try to infect anybody else, right? But it's hard to still go out on the street and still try to dodge everybody. And you give people the stinky eye that aren't giving you that kind of distance that you're giving everybody else. And I don't know, it's a hard time, man. You look at how, and I know we talked about this with Andy too, right? And he lived in New York City. Like, how are people going to come out of this situation? Like, how are they going to learn from what's happening right here? Are people going to actually change?
Here's a funny story. And you know, you can learn a lot from kids, you know, and this is how their reactions are probably, we're going to actually be like this. But, you know, we tell our kids, hey, here's why we're doing this. And I have a 14, a 10, and a 5-year-old. And we're out on a walk the other day, and this little girl comes towards my 5-year-old. And my 5-year-old turned and started running like a mountain lion was chasing her. And it's just, it's great that she's that aware, but... it's going to be interesting to see how the transition back to normal life is, but I will make one prediction. A year from now, when this comes up again, I'm willing to bet money nobody changes their lifestyle at all, and nobody stays home from work, and nothing gets shut down.
See, that's an interesting. If it drags out that long,
it'll come back
or whatever. Like,
it'll come back. But I just am predicting next time it comes back that we're just like, oh, been there, done that.
Well, not. I want to pivot away from this, but
we got
the
it.
Last thing, you opened up a can of worms there. So,
oh, shit. I do that a lot, don't I?
No, that's okay.
This I feel like that happened in our pre-talk, like not that anybody could listen to that, but it was like one thing like, after
no COVID,
another that
no
we would
COVID,
say
like,
where it's
literally.
Like, we're trying to stop this, and everybody keeps saying something where we keep going and going and going.
Yeah, well, we were talking about politics before, so you're not going to
do
that.
We are not doing that.
But you know what? That's a good point. We are getting, it's always going to be one more comment. So I'm going to pivot us back.
Oh, good job.
So I need
Although
to talk about
I agree
it.
With you, Brad. Yeah.
It was retweeted a lot today. So anybody on Twitter, Brad, you might have even seen it. Even
I
though,
suck at
I'm
Twitter, you guys.
On. No, I bet that's
I got to get better,
but
man.
There is an awesome video going around. With the girl's name's Caitlin. I think it's Kate. Sorry, I don't have her tag or whatever her at. But she recorded herself lip syncing Jack Michael's Passionate Calls from this year.
Oh,
so
God.
Like the brawl in against Calgary and Archibald's overtime winner. And she has it dubbed through like TikTok or whatever. I'm not averse to that app, to be honest. It kind of seems dumb, but it is fucking amazing. Like, she does such a good job of it. Have either of you seen that?
No, but I'll look for it.
Like, it just
I got all the time
her,
in the world
like,
right now.
Mannerisms
yeah.
and everything are so awesome. I'm not gonna lie.
John, you're
I'm
the
like,
Twitter god. I don't see shit until you send it to me. Like,
I'm
honestly,
like, I'm like John, weirdly attracted to this woman. I'm not like she has Jack Michael's voice.
Have you been drinking before me, Brad? Just track that.
Now I really got to look at what this chick looks like.
No, I think she's a pretty young girl.
Did you retweet it or anything?
That sounded. Are what?
What?
She's a pretty young girl.
Not
pretty
no, like,
and
oh
a young
God.
Girl.
She's
right
like
now?
In her 20s.
Yeah, not like 13 here.
No, what the fuck, guys?
Jesus.
I
pretty, comma,
I just,
young girl.
I just pulled up Twitter, and I saw an NHL 09 cover with Dion Phaneuf on it. That scares the shit out of me. Okay.
Okay, you know what? I'll freaking tweet this thing out.
You tweet it out so I can see.
Right
I need to see
and
what this
while I'm
looks
doing
like.
This, I'm gonna talk about another thing, because I think this is hilarious, and I like,
go ahead,
I like
go.
Poking fun at this guy, and I respect what he's done for Oilers media and stuff in the past, but that's Jim Matheson, man. He is just so out of touch when it comes to social media. And maybe you can relate to this one, Brad. I don't know. No, you're a little older than we are.
Oh, God. How come the old shit comes back to me every episode we talk?
You're nowhere near as old as Jim Matheson is. So, Pro-Am Sports tweets out, today was originally scheduled to be round two of the Masters. Here's an image of at Oil Voice 37, which is Rod Phillips, the former Oilers play-by-play, Wayne Gretzky, and Kevin Lowe. First correct response on who their fourth is wins a $25 gift card photo from the Yegg Pro-Am fan cave. Jim Matheson retweets this, and again, the three people that are named in this picture are at Oil Voice 37, which is Rod Phillips, Wayne Gretzky, and Kevin Lowe. Who is the fourth is the question. Jim Matheson retweets and said, Rod Phillips, the Oilers play-by-play man. I would know. I was his color man on radio for years.
Self-promotion.
Well, like, I think the self, like, yeah, it's almost, it just blew my mind. Like, he literally is listing one of the three guys that they listed off. He doesn't even, like, it'd be like, if we had a random fourth and we're like, yeah, I'm John, this is Kyle, and this is Brad, who's our fourth? And then someone being like, oh, I know Brad. He's got to be the fourth. Like, it was just the guy's so out of touch. It's hilarious. I'm not even trying to like be an ass or rip on him. Like I said, I respect like he's been around for a long time, like way, way back. But
I saw your retweet, John.
Is the video I'm talking about?
Yeah. I will watch it after we're done.
I mean, you guys can watch it right now. We're just BS.
I mean, are we
going to
put the sound right now? Because you might as well.
Yeah, you know what? Here, I'll throw it on here right now.
Do it.
Okay. Sorry, now I got to find it. Here, Brad, you do it because I can't. I had Jim Matheson's tweet up.
Okay, I got
My
it.
Bad. We're falling off the rails here, guys.
Okay, here, I got it here. It's going to sound a little goofy, but who cares?
Yeah.
Now picture a 25-year-old girl. You need to be careful about that one. 25-year-old girl, approximately.
Not a young girl, 25.
That so perfectly. It was flawless. It was she good. Did an unreal job.
It was good.
I like how you picked the Archibald overtime winner and not the Calgary line. Ball one, Brad.
Just, I didn't even know there was two of them. My God.
No, there is two. I'll make sure I retweet that for when this episode drops.
Archibald. I'd rather do that than I don't want to listen to anything.
It's awesome when Smith does the like three overhand rights. She does like she like pounds her fist.
So I got a question for you. You have your poll contest thing going, and you had. You have four finalists here, and it's Tkachuk, Perry, Lucic, and Puljujarvi. Are you surprised Tkachuk beat Perry? Because everybody hates Corey Perry, right?
Yeah, so, okay, this is the... I've got to take a step back, because this is one thing I fucked up on this. So, it's not really a final. The issue we had was those four guys were in two separate matchups.
Oh.
And Corey Perry and Tkachuk tied twice.
I see that. 50-50.
And then we had Lucic.
I should have voted.
Garvey, which was stupid because it was bad matchmaking on my part. So I switched them up to be like, yeah, like former public enemy number one in Corey Perry versus current public enemy number one in Matthew Tkachuk. But then we got no decisive answers. And the vote, it's so weird on Twitter voting. Like, you get a couple retweets, and like that vote got to like 450 votes.
Yeah, next
some of the
we'll
other votes
12.
We're running had like six.
I know. Why like the hell is
such
that?
Such a weird sample size. Like, we're trying to promo. Learning curve for me. But anyways.
Maybe I'll retweet like, it on my Flames one for you.
What was that, sorry?
I'll retweet it on my Flames one for you, and I'll skew your numbers miserably.
We'll probably get
no, actually, I was just going to say, don't actually do that.
I wouldn't do that. That'll skew your numbers so bad.
No, I know, and I've had to, like, refrain myself, because a couple times I've seen Tom Franklin's polls from the St. Louis podcast, and they'll be, like, ripping on Eric Brewer, and I'm like, kind of want to go in there and like retweet this and freaking like vote for whoever else to back up my boy that got us Pronger. And I was like, no, I'll leave them to it.
But, I got to tell you guys a funny story. I was doing a podcast earlier this week with a buddy of mine. Some days he's my buddy, some days I want to kick his ass, but that's pretty much anybody you podcast
sounds like
with,
a good
right?
buddy. Yeah.
And we were just, you know, because there's nothing to talk about now. We were talking about our all-time favorite players from every single team. And do you want to know who his all-time favorite Edmonton Oiler was?
And this is a Flames fan, buddy?
No, he's a Vancouver Canucks fan, actually.
Oh, even worse.
I know. I hold it against him every day.
You got to give me a hint.
Oh, you would never. We'd be here longer than our politics talk earlier tonight. Fernando Pisani was his all-time favorite Edmonton Oiler.
I can respect that one.
Yeah, I respect
Pisani
that.
Pisani was so close.
I'm like, you're a Canucks fan. Why the hell would you like Pisani? Why wouldn't you just pick somebody and be like I picked Ryan Smith.
I was going to say, like, from that era, too, Ryan Smith and, like, George Laroque. You
the
can't
reason,
go wrong with, like, either of those guys.
The reason I picked Smith is, I mean, even being a Calgary fan, it's like, I respect him. And I don't respect many Oilers, but I respect him because, you know, he was a gamer every single night for you guys. He wasn't the greatest player. He wasn't the greatest skater. He wasn't the greatest in anything, but he was good at everything.
And he had the biggest heart ever. The thing I love about Smitty, me and my roommate were talking about this the other day, and it's like if you look at his skill set, that dude is probably a fourth liner at best. And he just, with his grit and
he's not even in the league right now with the way skating is.
Yeah, like, I don't, it's tough, man. Like, it's tough to project where he'd be if he didn't have...
I don't think he'd be in
like,
the lead.
Like, it's not even the effort. It's that, like, willingness to go where to the dirty areas over and over and over again. And, like, you can't beat a guy physically like that. Like, how many times did he get hit in the face or lose teeth and he's out, like, 5 minutes later after stitches? Like, you, as a defenseman battling, in like, over a series or... in a game in the regular season, like, you can't beat a guy physically like that. He's just going to keep coming back. And I think that's the most, like, those are the most frustrating guys to play against. Like, Brad Marchand's frustrating. Matthew Tkachuk's frustrating. And, like, those guys are tough, too, but there's not very many guys, like, that have the toughness and willingness to go to those areas that Ryan's
did you see what Gary Roberts said today? He wants to come out of retirement and play just one more game so he could get a hold of Marchand.
Gary Roberts said that?
Yeah.
He must be feeling good after pumping out those 15-minute workout videos.
Must be.
He'd kick his ass, too.
I'm just going to say, John, like, you were just talking about the toughness and all that, and as much as I hate Matthew Tkachuk, I know we talked about this, too, the last time that him and Cassian fought there, right? But I do.
Holy shit. I mixed another drink. Good thing.
No, I'm just saying. No. I do have more respect for Tkachuk, and I know I said it back then, too. And even though he, in our opinion, I think it's kind of biased and also, like, the right opinion.
Oh, but my God.
He won both the first and second fight.
Well, sure, he better beat Tkachuk up. He weighed 40 more pounds.
But even the second fight, right, like, where Tkachuk was kind of having his glove off and ready to go.
But Kyle,
like,
the first one wasn't the fight.
You can talk shit all you want about it, but I'm not talking shit, dude. I'm congratulating the guy, so don't give me shit here.
Yeah, he really took that ass beating right on
the first one.
Stood up for himself, and you know what? Like, you talk about Smith and playing. Not that, like, Tkachuk by any means is that fourth line role and trying to fit in there. Like, he's very much a first line player, but just he has that same kind of tenacity and grit. And in our poll, right, the grudge that people hate against Tkachuk, as much as it is like who he plays for and how much we have to see him, it's as much like he went against Puljujärvi in our poll because, like, straight up, we could have had him. It was our pick for the taking and we didn't take it. So there's that grudge too. And I wish we had the kid, right? Like,
well,
I don't,
you guys would love him.
It's a happy, rivalry,
but I do
hate him saying that too. Yeah.
I know you're just trying to be objective, Kyle, but me being objective right now, that was the worst thing you've ever said on this podcast. I'm disgusted.
I agree. I know. I was kind of saying
it,
but it's true. But
you made good points. What I'm disgusted with is that we went from Ryan Smith and talking about how gritty he is, and then you, an Oilers fan, immediately compared that to Matthew Tkachuk I brought them up, but not in an equal way. You brought them up in like a Matthew
not
Tkachuk
even
has
equal.
That too. Fuck you, man.
You did bring them up in an equal way.
Not
you
even
kind of talked them down. And I was just saying, to be fair, like, we as Oilers fans can respect Brad, and as much as we hate Tkachuk, I do have respect for him as a player. That's all I'm saying.
I think Matthew Tkachuk's a good player.
I fucking hate him.
I would love to.
If I could send him to hell in itself, if it exists, okay, I would put him there.
You would love to have him.
No, we would. I mean, I'm not going to deny that. Like, that would just be foolish.
Yeah.
So, there's a couple things that I want to kind of glaze over because there's a final topic that we need to get into. So one, we're not even going to make comments on it because there's not really much to say, but we do need to acknowledge the fucking awful Colby Cave news. I don't know. Did you hear about that too, Brad?
Yeah, for sure. Yep.
Yeah, I mean, the guy's 25 years old, suffers a brain bleed randomly. And, you know, as of Friday night here, he's still in a medically induced coma. So, you know, we wish there's more we could do, but with everything that's going on, and I mean, I think it's an overused term saying like the thoughts and prayers thing, but at the end of the day, that's all we can really offer.
All we can do is,
and like,
yeah,
he definitely is in our thoughts. It's a scary, scary thing he's fucking going through, man. It's awful.
Yeah. I mean, all you can do is pray.
Reading his girlfriend's Instagram posts and Twitter posts at that too. It's heartbreaking, man. Like, it's hard reading that. You can only wish for the best for him, right? He's been a fighter. He's been kind of that in-between fourth liner and AHL, but you haven't seen him complain at all publicly about where he's been. He's been a fighter, and hopefully he can be that right now, too, in the hospital bed, right?
Like, yeah.
You can only hope for the best for the kid. And yeah, 25, like, man, like, how hard that can be. Like, just got kind of shown up with a brain bleed as far as I saw it, right? And then was a cyst that had to get, you know, emergency removed, obviously.
Yeah, and, it was causing pressure on his brain, I think they said.
Yeah, like how traumatic. Like, especially right now in the situation we are like not going back to the coronavirus and all that, right? But still it takes part in somebody that's having a birth or whatever the situation. But like this, like his girlfriend, his family can't go see him in the room he is right now.
Yeah, I think that was one of the toughest parts for me reading it too. It was just like they can't.
That's amazing. Can't
visit the guy. I mean, I know he's not conscious, but still, like, you'd like to be there to,
My God, just hold his hand and say that you love him and whatever, right? Like, I mean, it means so much just to feel someone's touch, whether they're conscious or not, like, in that sort of situation. It's just like,
for sure.
God, like, your heart goes out to that girl and that family and everybody involved, him, right?
So how is you as a parent or a girlfriend or whatever be sitting at home and he's sitting there and like not be able to show your
Yeah, it kind of just compounds, right? Like not being able to visit and actually be there for them physically. Like that's, I think we can all agree that like I can't even imagine.
Well,
like,
I mean, can I give a personal experience to this right now?
Sure, if you'd like, okay? Yeah, absolutely. Okay.
So my girlfriend, my love of my life, right? Her uncle, as of Christmas, was completely fine. We knew him, was complaining about a little bit of back pain. A couple months before that, absolutely no issues, right? A month ago, just got diagnosed with cancer in his lower back, and just a week ago passed away.
Wow.
Right? He was 52 years old, and it went from being this guy who, my God, he cooked dinner for us, cooked me one of the best dinners I've ever had in my life, right? Like, and just was the happiest, jolliest person, as well as his wife, who my heart goes out to, right? In the same situation where, like, now we're in a scenario where we're having a FaceTime on Sunday here and having to have the funeral over FaceTime because it's like, how do we deal with the situation where we can't go through this? Right? Like this coronavirus is so devastating to so many different situations. And like mine is just one part of that. I'm not trying to like overreach, take part in Kobe Cave and what's going on with him. Right. But like each individual person that's going through a traumatic event that usually is something that you can deal with in a normal way to grieve is now like the next level, like you can't even go hold somebody's hand, give them a hug, right? And like go tell your mom that you love them or whatever the situation is, right? Like it's so hard hearing of these stories and trying to give sympathy back to them, right? Like, and yeah, I don't know. Like it's terrible for everybody right now. Yeah.
Sorry. It almost reminds me in like a really, not a morbid, but just a like kind of a depressing way, I guess. But with the Kobe Bryant thing, and not trying to compare like COVID to a basketball player.
Let's just say before you do that too, like we're not trying to compare Cave to my girlfriend's uncle.
No, for sure.
Any of that, like it's all their own individual circumstances. Well,
but that's exactly it. And it's like, you look at Kobe and how many like other, like his, sorry, I'm completely blanking. His daughter's basketball teammates and their parents that were in the helicopter too, right? And you just get completely overshadowed. And that's what's, and it's not like anyone's fault necessarily, like media or whatever, but it's the same thing that's happening with COVID. It's like people are still having heart attacks and strokes and car accidents and anything else. And it, like as sad as it is to say, it's COVID's having kind of compounding those issues. So, no, it makes all that stuff like that much harder, but I think it's, you know, not belittling, but like to anyone going through something like that, but could be potentially comforting to know that like other people are also going through similar struggles. So I do appreciate you sharing your girlfriend and your guys' kind of experience there. And obviously send forward our condolences onto your girlfriend. That's a tough situation. I mean, I've lost like older loved ones somewhat suddenly like that. And I can't imagine compounding, you know, this issue onto that. But we do, let's switch gears though. Not that, you know, that's obviously a very important thing to discuss, but let's switch gears to a little bit happier news. A little happier for Brad anyways, I guess. So I don't know if you heard either, Brad, but Slepyshev was offered a 2-year contract, 1 or 2-year contract by Holland to return from Moscow to Edmonton, and he rejected that contract.
So he'll be
returning to Moscow. Not a huge, huge player, but kind of a guy that was misused and had a career year in Moscow this past year. And looking into his contract and age, at the end of this two-year deal coming into the KHL, he will be a UFA. So pretty good chance he's not an Oiler ever again.
Yeah, I don't know. Is that a big loss for you guys?
I don't think it's a big, big loss. I'm curious what Kyle thinks. I look at it more, I think he'd be a bona fide upgrade in our bottom six. Not like all of our wingers in our bottom six, but I think you look at guys like Patrick Russell and, who else? Like Nygaard and Haas. I know Haas is a center, but I'd say he's probably a safer bet than those guys as far as being an NHL talent.
I think he has the potential to be big troubles, though, too.
I'd say that he fits in, better into our third line than, Archibald does, but Archibald fits in better to our first line than Shlepishev does, but Archibald also fits in better to our fourth line. You know what I mean? Shlepishev is very much, a good third-line scoring winger. I don't see him on, that physical presence, but I'm also upset that he's gone. He had that great shot. I thought that he was underutilized back when he was part of the team.
I think that was one of the biggest failures by McClellan, to be honest.
Yeah, I wish that he was going to get another showing here for another 2 years, because just to be part of that bottom six that Holland has created and be part of the mix and try to prove his worth, I think probably would have been worth his time. Not that I'm going to downplay his choices, but if he wants to stay in Russia, right? But rather than going to, it was the CKSA, I believe, right?
It's the Moscow team, yeah.
Yeah.
The Moscow teams.
I mean, he was offered a chance, and if he didn't want to take it, that's fine, but I think he probably would have got a third-line role easily with the Oilers. I think he is definitely an upgrade to what we've had in the bottom six.
So do you guys like
Archibald? Brad, you mentioned that you think it could be potential big problems, too. What do you mean by that?
I don't know. After I said it, I'm like, I'm not sure what I'm talking about.
I mean, I think to play devil's advocate.
Come on, I'm drinking here.
I think it's tough. Hey, Russians haven't had a great track record in Edmonton.
That's kind of where I'm going with it.
There's not a great Russian culture that some other teams have in the NHL.
Well, when Puljujärvi left you guys, or when you guys, mm-hmm. when he was no longer in your roster. And he leaves and goes overseas. There was no positives that came from that. And do you not kind of, on a guy that's wishy-washy whether he wants to be here or not, I don't know, is it worth the risk? I mean, I guess, yes, if he wanted to come here, then it would be great for you guys. But if he's wishy-washy on it, I'd just as soon get a guy that's going to have a heart and soul. And I don't know what you guys feel about Archibald, and I watch him one game, and I think he's a decent player, and I watch him the next game, and I'm like, oh, how the hell is this guy in the league? And then,
yeah, but I would say the same thing about, Puljujärvi and Shlepishev, right? Shlepishev would be kind of in that same category. I'd put Archibald, although, a bit above that, whereas Puljujärvi being a, fourth overall pick, you would expect some sort of return on him.
He's a higher skill player, but Archibald is a way more consistent, defensive, hardworking guy.
For sure. I'm just saying in comparison to Puljujärvi, right?
To Shlepishev and Puljujärvi, you mean?
To both Puljujärvi versus Shlepishev and Archibald, right?
Yeah.
Puljujärvi is just the expected higher return on what you invested, right? You invested a very, very high first round pick.
Right. But it's also have way higher bust potential, where I think Shlepishev is potentially more likely to be a solid third.
Okay, for sure, dude. But at that point in time, Puljujärvi was who everybody was registering as the third overall, and we probably would have gotten.
No, for sure. I'm not disagreeing with you. He definitely has the higher ceiling.
History, right? But yeah, I don't know.
So let me ask you this, guys. You guys are obviously sore about Puljujärvi because he was a high pick and hasn't worked out and probably won't work out. We have Sam Bennett, who's the highest Flames draft pick in history.
Brad, I just want to say he's liked McDavid Instagram posts, so Puljujärvi, that is. Just saying, there's a chance.
Okay.
There's
Brad's
a chance.
Like these fucking millennials.
I know, right?
I don't even know what you're talking about. So Sam Bennett, he gets shit on in Calgary all the time because he's not hasn't lived up to the expectations that were pinned upon him because of a high draft pick. But I'm not like I was less of a fan this year than I was years past, even though I would consider myself a Sam Bennett fan in the fact that I think it's kind of bullshit in the fact that, like, not everybody that's drafted high is going to score 40 goals a season. Yeah. And the scouts aren't right on everybody, but that doesn't mean that they suck. There's always a home for them. You know what I mean? Like, I just think that we had this hope in Calgary that Sam Bennett was going to be our first line winger and he was just going to put up points left and right because he did in juniors. But when he didn't, when he hasn't in Calgary, but what people forget is, like, he was our only forward at the end of the playoffs last year that I was like, okay, he can sleep good tonight. Like, I'm not shooting you. Yeah, like, he was our only guy as a forward last year in Calgary that I was actually happy with in the postseason.
He can be a tough player to play against.
He can. He can do it all. But we got
to
get
it's
this.
It's one of those things. I think it's this player that I'm about to name is more to that extent where maybe on both. Yeah, a very, very high draft pick and has been a consistent point producer, but has never been that guy that's like 80, 90, 100 points that generate, or like not even generational, that franchise guy to build around, right?
Well, you guys
he's
have
a very
to
good
be,
secondary piece.
You have to be super happy with him, right?
For sure.
Oh, of course, but as a whole, as the NHL sees him, no, right? Like,
yeah,
I would say
like
Bennett is a more
Reddit.
Extreme example of that, right? Like, he fits into the fourth line, third line, whereas, like, Nugent Hopkins fits into the second line, but ideally people kind of slot him into that third line center role.
A lot of third line,
am I not wrong? Sorry.
Nuge has, at least one, I believe, 3 years, actually.
So Bennett has room to grow. Sorry, there's no point.
Where are we supposed to draft third-line centers? What pick are they supposed to be?
Yo, I'm not disagreeing with you. We're not disagreeing with
no,
you.
No,
like,
I don't
yeah.
think...
Come on,
no,
Kyle, I want to argue.
Well, I mean, there's obviously not a, like, bonafide pick.
I want to argue, Kyle. Damn it.
Where are you, like, where are you kind of asking where the buffer is?
Well,
where
yeah.
If the guy, all he is a third line center, where that's not disappointing.
Yes.
I'd say 10th.
Okay.
Like, if I get a top 10 pick and I use it on a center, my hope and expectation,
top
right
two.
Or wrongly, is that they're going to be a top 6 center.
I agree. I will agree with it. But
I think you have that hope later on, too.
Like, if you spend your 25th pick on a center, you hope as well, but I think it's a lot more reasonable.
I'd say
that guy at 22 is
if I spend
a top 9 guy.
If I spend top 10 in the second round, I'm expecting them to be, like, a top 9 player, right?
You guys, it's so tough, I feel like,
but you can't guess that because it depends
on the draft.
Oh, my God.
Like, 100%.
You can get a stud early in the second round.
But the
others, that's like...
But you can say that's the last draft compared to this upcoming draft where people are expecting to, right?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I mean, look at, like, we've got Lavoie in the first, and, like, he was projected to be a top 15 pick at times. So you could say the same thing about, like, DeBrincat and Yamamoto and those guys, like,
and Benson and
Benson yeah. for sure.
What are we going to do about
a lot of those years?
What are we going to do about the draft this year, you guys?
So,
well, we
want
to go to Montreal,
so
I'm going to COVID protest. I'm going to go to the Bell Center and just hang out in front of them.
Let's do it, man.
I think it happens. I think by the end of, or sorry, by the start of June. We're going to have a
no,
way better.
No, it won't. John, in Montreal here, all public meeting events, like anything over 10 people, are banned until July 2nd.
They can change that, Kyle.
So,
that doesn't written in stone?
No, it is by the city.
No, it is.
Oh, my God. So you're telling me they can't go back on it?
I guess that's actually a good point by Brock, because Calgary did the same thing. It's like all of a sudden, say they come out with a vaccine tomorrow and they can administer it.
They're not going to do anything.
But
as a semi-medical professional, are they coming out with a vaccine?
No, there's no fucking way.
Okay, come on, you guys.
It has nothing to do with me.
So if we don't have any new you're telling me that Montreal all of a sudden gets to the point where they got one new case a week or two new cases a week, that you're not freaking having a thing at the Bell Center?
No, but... Brad, the point is that, like, it's not that you wouldn't have a thing at the Bell Center, right? Like, and it's not that by July that we wouldn't go back to semi-normal life, right? It's that there wouldn't be an event where there'd be 20,000 people showing up for being close-knit to each other. If anything, probably after we come out of this quarantine, right, we're going back to 50% people inside a restaurant.
Like the only way it happens quickly is if this completely gets out of control and everybody gets infected right away. So then, therefore, everybody gets over it quicker everybody dies quicker. Or you come out with a vaccine. Like,
so next
my point is let's take a step back.
I just want to say the draft was supposed to be at the end of June, and that was supposed to be live in Montreal, right? And obviously that's not going to happen. No. It was banned until July 2nd, and I know that they could come back on that, but the chances of that happening and allowing the draft to happen and all
and
that.
Just the logistics of coordinating it, because they're already assuming they're not going to be able to do it. So let's just take a step back here, boys.
Yeah, go ahead.
So by June 1st, what I was saying is we're going to have a way better idea of if they're going to still attempt to play hockey this year or not, as far as the 1920 season, finishing it. And I think by then, if it's still like there's just like really no way this is going to happen, or they're still hopeful, that's going to depend if it gets pushed back or not. Because I think if you look at like June 1st, and I'm just kind of throwing out a day, not necessarily that day, but the start of June, if they're really looking like there's no way we're going to be able to get this season done by the time next season was supposed to start with adding a break, because we can all agree there's no way the owners are going to miss out on next year. They're not going to miss out on the revenue. They're already losing so much money. There's no way they lose games next year.
No players can afford to either.
Well, exactly. So at that point, if there's no way, I think they're going to just – they'll do some type of lottery for all the teams. So you'll have your teams that – your worst 16 teams that all have a shot at first, and then the other – what is that, 17 teams, 15 teams – that are all going to get lotteried out based off where they were in standings, and I think the draft happens online.
I agree. But
I think that's really
I totally
like,
agree with you, John.
To do it.
But you know what? I'm going to play shit stirrer here. The way you guys are talking, though, next season's in jeopardy.
I mean,
I think that depends on if there's like a second resurgence of this virus or not, right? Like, that's just on projection.
I'm going to make a prediction for the U.S. There is no way they keep people quarantined through July. No way.
John, Friday, April 10th, 11:37 p.m. Let's clip that.
Do it.
We're putting it into existence.
And if I'm wrong, I'll come on your show and you guys can tell me how great the Oilers are, and I'll wear an Oilers jersey. How's that sound?
Okay. I was like,
I have a jersey.
I mean, like,
if I'm wrong, I'll come on your guys' show. Now we're talking with the jersey.
I'll take a picture
and put it on your Twitter. A legit jersey so the revenue goes to the Oilers.
Oh, shit. They need it.
We're not providing you with a fucking Oilers jersey.
Okay. I'll do it. I'll borrow one. I'll buy one. Whatever.
No,
I find it funny how we keep dipping back and forth in between coronavirus talk. I know it affects everything that we're talking about, but it's just like
the whole world is coronavirus.
John and I pledged that we weren't going to talk about this shit, and now we're talking about it.
I mean, to be fair, I tried pretty hard to steer you guys away.
You usually hold the course, and then we dip back in.
Kyle keeps bringing it up, man. He keeps bringing it up.
I'm not saying I'm
100%. I haven't said a thing. What are you talking about, man?
This is what happens when you guys drink, Jesus. I'm not saying I'm 100% innocent, but I'm saying it's been not me at all that's getting into the coronavirus stuff. The closest I got was the Colby Cave discussion, and that's very quickly slipped in. But so for our last topic, and this is one that I've been looking forward to all day, and well, for the last couple of days since we kind of coordinated this, but one of the things I think that isn't being talked about a little bit, but we haven't talked about it, with the salary cap unlikely to rise. So let's just – we're not even going to talk about how the season's going to play out. But either way, teams have taken a financial hit. Salary cap's not going to go up near as much as it was supposed to. So let's just say that the salary cap remains at the exact same number, which I believe it was at 81.5 or 82.5?
81.5.
81.5, thank you. Let's say it stays right there, or maybe even drops a little bit if they lose some profit. How do you think that impacts teams? And I have a couple of specific questions, but just generally, how do you, like, what kind of impact on the league do you think that has?
Do you want me to go first so we don't get drug Kyle and drag us back to the Corona?
Yeah, let's go with that.
All right.
I like drunk Brad. He's chirping.
This is going to be an interesting topic, and I'm going to throw out a bunch of predictions here. I don't think we play hockey again this year, which is going to financially kill a lot of teams.
2020 or like 1920.
No, we won't play this. We won't finish this season. We'll start next season.
Yeah.
But we won't finish this season. And no cup will be handed, and there won't be a playoffs, and that's just unfortunate. But I don't see that happening. But what I think is going to be the ramifications of that is the escrow amount is going to be to a point where players aren't going to be able to manage it. And quite honestly, owners aren't going to want players to have to play that much escrow because it just won't be good for the game. So what I see coming out of this is a lot of league meetings this summer, and I see a 10-year new CBA coming out of this where players are forgiven some of the money that's lost in order to get a 10-year CBA, and we go back to hockey with the exact same salary cap next year where the players do have to pay some escrow, but not to the extent that they're going to have to pay for the losses this year.
Brad, you literally just stole the punchline. Right, like not the punchline, but the key point I was going to nail on to end this episode, and that was the question of, do you think if this continues going on and maybe dips into next year, that they just take that as an opportunity to renegotiate the CBA?
Hell yeah, we're getting a new CBA out of this, you guys. I believe.
I wonder if that's going to be the one big positive from this. Like you hammer out the Olympic question that's looming over. You hammer out the escrow issue. And you're actually not rushed because you can't play hockey anyways.
You know, I don't want to talk about the Olympics, but one thing with the Olympics is I think that's a factor. But see, what a lot of people don't get...
Escrow is way more important.
Oh, sorry, for sure.
Finish your point, though.
But what a lot of people don't get is a lot of the problems with the Olympics isn't just the NHL. It's the Olympic.
IOC. Oh, it's the IOC, for
yeah,
sure.
That's,
for sure
that's 90% of the problems. I don't think that Bettman and the crew, NHL crew are sitting in their office going, fuck them. We aren't going to the Olympics because I don't fucking feel like it.
As an Edmonton fan, I think it's like, it's kind of bad to be booing Bettman because he saved Edmonton in the 90s.
You guys,
right?
I like Bettman.
Yeah, I don't hate the guy personally. I really, really don't.
I think
I understand why
Bettman,
people boo him. But
it's like it's a meme at this point. Like,
yeah.
I don't.
The reason
love
I wanted
Gary
to
Bettman,
go to the draft was so I could boo
time.
Him. That's it. Like,
yeah,
other
go
than that,
down.
Like,
no,
how funny was it when Vegas booed him and he said something along the lines of like, "Oh, we know Vegas is a hockey city now," like something like that when they booed him, and it's like. That it's hilarious.
Yeah.
I think that no one can argue.
And it's also good that he embraced it.
Look at how much
it.
The game has grown.
Look at what he's done television-wise.
Exactly. Like,
he's going to go down as
the
greatest.
He's got a job that the fans are going to hate.
He's the greatest commissioner of all time by a mile. By a mile.
I don't know enough about the commissioner history, but that's
he has grown the game 100 times more in both financially, and he saved a lot of the Canadian markets. This one kind of pisses me off. He saved the Arizona time and time and time and time and time again.
Yeah, you could argue that might be a negative.
That is a negative, I think. But, I mean, overall, like, if you really, really, like, as much as he looks like a little weasel, like, he's been, like, tremendous for this game.
Well,
and I've actually was fortunate enough to actually talk to him one time, and he's, like, a killer good guy, too. Like, he's a really nice guy.
Well, I don't want to become the jerk-off section of Bettman, but, I mean, like, he actually came into power, what, like, mid-90s, right? And
yeah,
and early 90s, right?
93, I think.
Yeah, okay. So, I mean, from his time that he's been here, his tenure, like, how much the game has grown, especially in the United States, right, has been huge for the game. And we're starting to see... Well,
sorry to cut you off, but like,
dude, Nashville, and I know Arizona hasn't had the fan base of it, but like Austin Matthews came from there. Southern California has had a huge growth in hockey. Texas has had a huge growth in hockey. Florida has, you know, like, not although it's showing right now, the young kids are coming in right now. Like, there's growth coming in from these southern states that have been because Bettman put those teams in there, or at least helped associate those teams to get a position, right? So to say that he's a bad commissioner is a joke. I think he's actually, like Brad said, has done a fucking fantastic job. Look, and I don't boo him when he's coming out there. Although, to do the meme, I would do it, I guess.
What's that?
Pull the standings up, you know, just look at all the teams. He's helped Pittsburgh. He's helped Carolina before. He's helped Columbus before. He's helped the Islanders before. He's helped the Devils before. I mean, he's helped Florida. He's helped, you know, Ottawa. I mean, you just look at – that's just the Eastern Conference that he's helped. I mean, every team has their moments where it's like, you know, even when Calgary was doing their Houston ploy a couple of years ago or a year ago or whatever that nightmare was – Bettman was, you know, stood strong and said, I do not want this team to leave Calgary unless they have to.
Pretty sure he did the same thing with Edmonton.
He did.
Yeah, he did. That's what I was saying.
Like, seriously, I mean, I...
Oh, even earlier on, like, I'm talking when we got our, when Rogers placed.
Yeah, I came in, yeah.
I'm pretty sure he had...
Well, like, I mean, it's just... Too. To even, like, just to look at him, like, in comparison to another big league, right? Like, Roger Goodell from the NFL... Right, and he's had his own controversies as well, too, right?
He's true pro player.
Big time, right? But, I mean, there's just, you've seen such a better effect, at least in my opinion, not that I'm the biggest NFL fan, but from Bettman compared to Goodell, right? Like, and that's just two kind of controversial people that I'm throwing out there, but Bettman, in my opinion, has... You know, as well as growing the game, he's been through a lot more. He's kind of dealt with the toughness, if you want to say in quotation, thrown his way, like the booze and everything, whereas Goodell kind of throws it off to the side, whereas Bettman, like, plays with it. Like, he accepts it at this point now. And I know we kind of talked about that too, John, last episode with Andy too, how I wish that they would bring that personality into the league. And just seeing, like, even Bettman bring up a bit of that was why I enjoy Bettman more now. I was totally part of the team that was like, hate Bettman, just because it's a meme, because I don't understand why we hate Bettman, but sure, I hate him. You know, but now that I understand who the guy is and seeing what he's done recently and, like, kind of building into the meme of hating himself, like, you kind of want to love the guy in a way that he's, like, the villain you want to hate, right? I don't know. I personally like the guy. I know that that might get some hate, but
no, it shouldn't get hate. I mean,
I think when I was talking about personality, you guys should check out 31 Thoughts podcast that had Bettman on it. I think it was like at least a year ago.
Oh, I remember that, and I remember him being very funny in that.
Yeah, it was funny, and you could tell he's a very, like, thoughtful, like, with his words, right? He's very thoughtful.
Have you read his book?
I haven't read the book, sorry, but I actually think, John, that podcast was, like, the moment that I thought that he was decent, like, walking home from work and, like, was like, holy shit, this person is, like, a real human, well, and I respect his opinion, yeah.
I think the thing is, from fans' perspective, is, like, commissioners are always going to be such a big target for hatred and anything like that, and it's just, it's not a easy job for one, and at the end of the day, the only ones that are holding you accountable as a commissioner is the owners. Like, you're pretty much the owners. I mean, not boss, but
you are
the connection to their league. Well, like, they're your boss, more or less.
Yeah, they are your boss.
At the end of the day, you've got a bunch of billionaires that are profiting off of this league, where you have the fans that are always going to side with the players. So in any lockout, there might be a little bit of talk of, oh yeah, these players are greedy. Look how many millions they make. But at the end of the day, the fans are always going to stick by the players and look more negatively on the owners. I mean, look at us for a prime example. When we were talking about the owners, whether they were paying their part-time staff or not when this COVID thing broke out, and we're not getting into that, but
like, that was that's a prime example.
Are
like,
we
were so quick to throw owners under the bus.
I wasn't.
Like, no, I know what you weren't actually, Brad. Sorry, I meant we as more of a Kyle and me thing, but Maybe we just took the opportunity to rip on your Flames owner. But anyway, I think it's not
it's
a.
All right. It's all
it's
right.
A very. Like,
and Boston. And Boston.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. A bunch of other teams. There's lots. But I think it's one of those things that's. It's one, like, it's a very, very difficult position. And I think there's a lot of good ideas that come from fans or whatever else, but it's harder to implement that when you're actually in charge of that size of a corporation that is the NHL. So I want to steer us back, though. So specifically to the salary cap. So let's kind of ignore the CBA, even though I think that is a really good discussion, and I'm really curious to see what happens there. So if the salary cap doesn't go up, do you think, like, let's look at Oilers specifically. Do you think they seriously look at buying out James Neal before next season?
Holy shit. Could I get out of this one? I want to see what Kyle has
for
to
you,
say.
Brad. Yeah, go for it.
Oh, God. You guys think you're going to buy him out? Does that solve a problem, though?
I mean, it clears up, like, a freaking quite a bit of cap space. I don't actually have that number, like, pulled into me. But you guys chat, I'm going to pull that up right now.
I was going, you chat.
I don't know. How many guys
he's way more buyoutable than Lucic.
Well, Lucic can't be bought out.
No, you guys are. So that's the other question is,
but you know
if
why?
The cap doesn't go up, do teams negotiate a compliance buyout for players like that? Where they say, okay, you guys have projected the cap at $84 to $88 million, which is a huge jump. And now out of everyone's control, this thing has happened. So I wonder if the owners go to the NHLPA and say, we want to buy, every team gets one compliance buyout. So you still have to pay the player out, similar to what happened in the last CBA negotiation where
can I
you
can
buy them out
on
to
that
no
though?
Hit to the cap whatsoever. They're just removed from the cap.
I know, but can I throw something out?
Sure.
Like, I think that the money lost on this on the owner's end is probably more substantial than we think of as fans.
So do you
and
think
I don't know
teams,
that
there's a lot more teams that don't spend to the cap than in that situation.
No, I think I don't think they could afford to buy out. I don't think the general manager could knock on a lot of the owners' doors and say, "Dude, we got to buy this guy out for $6.5 million, and we're just going to have to do it." And the owners are going to be like, "Well, shit, I just lost, you know, $900 million." Like, I can't, man. I just can't bleed more.
Owners all on the same page where,
you know,
they want compliance buyouts. There might be 10 or 12 teams that want that. But what about the team, the Floridas, that are struggling? Why would they say, yeah, sure, we want a compliance buyout that's going to way more drastically help the wealthy teams that are contenders
compared
to a bunch of teams like them?
Yeah, if I was one of those teams, I'd be like, piss on that. They got themselves into this, man.
Yeah.
You know,
Arizona, Ottawa, Florida.
If I'm Colorado, if I'm Colorado's owner, I'd be like, fuck that. Toronto's going to pay for this. All these other teams that are right in the cap are going to pay for this. Now it's time for me to make hay because I've been watching my cap.
I'm so glad you brought them up. It is absurd how much cap space Colorado has.
I know.
And I know they've got McKinnon and Landeskog on stupid good deals.
They can take their pick on
the entry level, but like, frick, do they have a lot of money.
You know what, though? Be careful, though. Because
like
Vancouver had $20 million here about 8 months ago. And
oh, for sure. I mean,
gone.
You literally look like McKinnon's going to get – I mean, I've heard Colorado fans say, like, oh, no, McKinnon's coming out and saying he's going to take a discount. Like, he might take, like, a Crosby-level discount, but that dude is getting, like, at least 9 or 10.
But you know
like,
what?
Let's be real. He's not signing for
five and a half, six, whatever
it takes right now. Like, I've heard a couple of Colorado fans say
you know what, though?
Like, let's get real here. There's no freaking way he does that.
Think about this, though, you guys. This is what scares me as a Western Conference team.
Mm-hmm.
And this should scare you guys, too.
Is it that McDavid and Draisaitl are on the same team in their division?
Oh, my
should?
God. I need to pour another drink here, John. Colorado has got enough money, basically, to take their pick at goaltenders next year. They can take Holtby, Markstrom. They can take whoever they want.
I've been high on Colorado for about the last 2 years. I know that's not a hot take or anything because they've been trending upward, but I think there's going to be a legendary series in between like prime McDavid Draisaitl versus Colorado when all those guys are like 25 to 28.
McKinnon, McDavid.
So you're ruling Calgary out completely.
Well, I mean, they could rebuild and maybe get
yeah,
into
maybe
that.
Maybe
like
Oh, yeah. Coming from the Oilers guys who have been irrelevant for a decade.
I'm not saying that Calgary's not going to win some series or whatever, or have some good series.
Get to a second round or win
that,
maybe.
I'm looking at,
like,
a conference final.
Are you guys forgetting you have to go through us?
What's that?
You have to go through us, you know.
Yeah, like, if that's, like...
Kyle was scared to death of that.
I know he was.
I heard it on your podcast.
I said I was more worried about going against Calgary than Vancouver. Not that I'm worried about going against you.
Oh, he's backtracking again.
That's not backtracking. That's 100% true.
We were, like, pretty out there right away, too, saying that... what was that? That was the Patreon episode we did, Brad. The Pacific Roundtable.
Yeah.
And everyone was like, yeah, I'm scared of seeing Vancouver. And I was like,
no,
like,
me and you weren't.
Team I'll play in this division.
No,
I'd rather play Vancouver over, like, L.A.
Because you can rough them up, man. They don't like that.
Oh, yeah.
They don't like that.
And soft. And, like, I they're a very exciting team.
Oh, they're dynamic.
But they're a year or two away.
Like, they're not tough enough.
No.
But, Kyle, I got to tell you a story.
They need Lucic in their bottom six.
I'll trade them.
Would you trade
for Lucic? Yeah, no shit. Yeah, that's our point. Yeah.
I'll tell you something, Kyle. I was out in my garage cleaning it up here a couple weeks ago, and I was listening to some podcasts, and I was listening to your podcast, and I heard you on there, and John was chirping us Flames, and I was, and you were saying how you didn't want to play us in the first round, and I damn near called both of you two. I was so fired up in my garage. My wife even asked me, she goes, what's wrong? I'm like, these guys, the Edmonton guys are pissing me off here. I'm listening to their podcast. Oh, you had me going that day.
You were telling me about that the other day, like a couple of weeks ago.
You know,
the thing was,
you know why I said that, Brad?
Just a
hold on.
No, we were talking about.
I can't
about,
respond to my own, like.
No, just up. Give me, just fucking give me a second.
Okay.
We were.
Okay.
What was said was. You had said, I said, wouldn't you want to play Calgary? Because we're talking about first-round matchups. And you're like, we'll just play Calgary in the second round. And I was like, Calgary's not going to make it to the fucking second round.
Yeah, and I just fucking lost it.
And then we both laughed. That's what, sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off, but go ahead.
That is exactly what I was going to say, John. It's that, you know, I don't think that Calgary would get through the second round because the competition they would face in the first round is obviously going to be too much for them. So if they got through the second round, we would obviously dominate them. So
I also remember you saying I'd be scared to death to play Calgary in the first round.
It's more...
I think exactly what he said is I'd be scared to death. I'd only want to play him if I knew he'd win for sure, and I don't know that.
Okay,
so
I know you're going way back. Okay,
honestly, you know what, Brad? Actually, you might be calling out something that's true. And you know what? Actually, I don't hate it because I think that if we were going to go into Calgary, and especially first round, like... I more worry about the skill players of Edmonton being... thrown out, and I know that's my own kind of prejudice against
money and stuff. Really,
I do. I just like I've seen the hate from Gaudreau and the knee on knee, and as much kind of meme situations you want to throw out as Oilers fans, but maybe that was my reasoning back in the day. I'm trying to throw back, you know, months back now. But
you know that
what it was, Kyle, was this was early on in the season before we had played any Battle of Alberta's. Before our teams had really solidified the teams that they were this year or are this year. And we were talking about a potential Battle of Alberta playoff round because we were fairly close early on in the standings. And both sides, I will say, Brad, both Flames and Oilers fans were largely saying they really want that series, but only if they win. Because that's the thing. If you lose that series,
that was like early December,
shredded by every Flames or Oilers fan in the province for the rest of the freaking year.
Yeah,
so that was the concern. It wasn't that we were scared of Calgary.
You all
that's true.
In the worst case scenario, if you lose to Calgary,
you know
the consequences are way higher compared to any other team.
Do you know that tonight we would have been possibly finishing game two of the Bell.
Don't even say it. It's so depressing. I can't even handle it. I know. I saw the tweet out a couple days ago when it was like going to be the first game of the playoffs, and I was like, man,
you guys,
I wish I could like I wish I could mute all tweets like that because it bums me out.
Am I hater to say I don't think that Calgary was going to make it?
Oh my God, Kyle, stop. You know what? Like, stop. You know what? I got a question for you guys. Are you guys sick of these simulated games on Facebook?
I'm not sick of them, but I just don't pay attention. I thought it was kind of a good idea. And I know some of the guys on the network, well, they're not even simulated. Sorry, they're doing like streaming, which is like just more, sorry, not simulated games. But yeah, the simulated ones, the other thing was is like in the NHL video games, they made it the full 20 minutes, which makes sense. But then you were getting games that were like the shots were like 96 to 84. And I wasn't even watching, but I was just seeing what people were saying about it. And it's like, can we adjust this to make it actually like kind of realistic?
I'm just saying, I play competitive NHL 20. You can make fun of me all you want. Like John has made fun of me on this podcast.
I won't make fun of you. I don't play it, but I'll leave it alone.
But I mean, we stream that, and it's 6-on-6. Like I play goalie. There's five people in front of me.
No way. Are you serious?
Yeah, it's actually a really cool game. And, like, watching that, I would understand because, like, that was our point with, again, throwing back to Andy last game, right? Like, if they were to get six NHL players on six NHL players and play a 6-on-6 game where they're, like, playing.
But they're not
position,
video
even if
gamers,
they suck,
though.
Who cares? It's their personality. But, like, sorry, what was that, Brad?
They would suck, though, because they're not video games.
But it doesn't matter. It's their personality type of thing, right? It's just that they're having fun and, like, making fun of each other, and who cares, right? But just for the NHL to be throwing, like, these games out, I get it. But there's just, to me, like, I play in a super competitive league, and, like, if you want to watch good NHL, like, online hockey, like it's already out there. Not that that's like what's entertaining.
And the issue is
hockey.
Why you couldn't do it with real NHL players is there's no way there's enough real life NHL virgins.
No.
There's just no way.
I won't watch that shit. Like unless it's actual NHL players like playing 6-on-6, I might watch it. I might.
I wouldn't.
I play the game competitively. So, Lucic
just scored for Calgary to win in overtime to beat Vancouver.
I see that.
In game two. Is that not a bunch of bullshit? Because Lucic isn't scoring. An OT winner. One thing I did think that was interesting is Talbot was in net. Think about
would
that
Would he have
one.
Not been, though?
Oh, I think he would have been.
We won 5-0 in the first game.
I think
game,
he would have
sure
been.
EA put out.
I think
so. I'm not for sure.
Like, I'm talking real life.
No, I think in real life he would have been too.
Like he was just.
You think so? Yeah.
December,
I do.
He's been by far.
Yeah, actually, yeah. Riddick was there.
You guys want to know? Okay, let me just talk one thing, Calgary here.
Yeah.
You want to know what the biggest thing in Calgary is that worries me to death is? Last year's playoff disappointment was so like earth-shattering in Calgary that we had a lot of unanswered questions. Like we needed to figure out who was our starting goalie. We need to figure out, is our first line playoff tough? We need to figure out what defensemen we're going to re-sign. And none of that shit's going to get figured out now because we can't play out the rest of the season. Like, we don't know if we're playoff ready. So what do we do? Do we trade Gaudreau now or not? Like, I vote we trade him. But, like, we have so many unanswered questions. And you know, I talked about Kyle.
I hope we trade him, too.
You know, we have so many. Kyle, yeah, you're.
No, I actually think in like an unsarcastic way that might be the right decision.
No, I actually think that's probably the best move for your team. But, yeah. Just,
like, seriously,
let me
like,
ask
there's
you
so
a
many things.
About that, Brad.
Okay.
So, and this, I'm not even, I'm like wholeheartedly, 100% honestly, not even digging at you. Let's just look at it from an objective view. Do you think Calgary's core is good enough to win a cup? And I'm not talking, oh, you just have to get in and get a hot goalie. I'm talking about, is your core good enough to be a legit cup contender?
You want it? My 1-minute answer or my 5-minute answer?
Let's start with the 1-minute answer.
Okay.
Yeah, give me a yes or no.
No.
Sorry, let me, I want your answer.
No. No, no, yeah, no.
And I'm not, again, I'm not even digging at the Flames.
No, but I don't think Edmonton's
like
ready to win yet either.
I don't think we are, but I think Edmonton definitely has the core. They need to build around that core more.
Well, okay, but
here's, legit cup contender.
Here's the deal,
we
though.
We have the core. I don't think Calgary has the core.
I think
core.
We have three-quarters of the core. Just hear me out here for a second.
Sure.
Defensively, I think we're totally fine. We have to sign.
Yeah,
we have to sign.
Your strength.
We have to sign either Hamonic or Brody, one of the two.
Yeah.
Okay. And
but Gio's also getting older. But
yeah.
Sorry, I agree.
But we got Valimaki. We have a solid decor. Like we have an abundance of talent back there. Goaltending, it's a complete up in the air right now. Quite honestly, I would go out and try to get Markstrom or somebody. and then have Riddick in them. Or you know who else I like? I like Halak.
Where is he at?
He's in Boston.
Boston?
I like him. So you have, you know, Halak and Riddick. I'm good with that. But here's my problem. I'm fine with our offensive core, but I would eliminate one guy.
Johnny Hockey.
Johnny Hockey's got to go. And you know what? But here's part two to that now. And here's why I'm not sacrificing Monahan. We've pinned to Monahan as a first line center from day one. Now, Monahan's a great player, and we got him at a good price, but he's not a first line center. But we have one. We have Lindholm. So you play Lindholm?
Is Lindholm a center?
Yeah, well, he's been playing center and wing.
Okay, I didn't know that. So interesting.
He's our
first
line center.
Can I say that Monahan is like
he's
our
second line center.
Hopkins?
He is.
I was
totally.
Say, I think so too.
He is
like exactly the same. He's kind of undershadowed, but plays that perfect two-line role. He can score when he needs to. He set us players. He's more of a passer than a scorer.
He's a deadly in the slot.
Exactly.
I mean, he's Nugent Hopkins to a T, and we didn't draft him as high as Nugent Hopkins. I'm just saying.
For sure. No. Yeah. Compliments. Dude, hey, we're not going to hate on each other as much as we can do, right?
Like, no. That was a soft one. But seriously, though, you guys.
I had enough to talk.
But you know what? We've been pinning him as a first-line center and pretending that he was. You can't pretend shit in the playoffs. And we saw that last year.
It's the same thing with Nuge, like you guys were saying, though. It's like he's a really good second-line center playing with the right players. Like, I think if you... You surround him. I know he's playing wing right now. Nuge is, but he's a little out of his depth as a first line center when you start getting against really tough competition.
But you guys,
do you think in the playoffs against like conference finals, you're playing Colorado? You think Lindholm holds his own as your number one center?
I don't know. No,
you think he's better than.
But
better
here's the deal, though. Here's the deal, though, John. I am so anti paying someone $11 million. That has a
That's
big
fair.
Game.
I'm
just
there's a
so
few, there's
anti.
There's a few players that you do that in the league for.
And there's so
and
few.
And I think there's too many that are going to get that amount of money.
Exactly.
I don't pay John Tavares that amount of money.
No. And I don't know. I try to build a top to bottom, deep, deep core. Because I think that's what you're going to win with.
Brad, if you were going to trade Johnny, right?
Yeah.
Like, obviously, he's not a bad player.
No.
Like, to say that you're going to trade him is.
Oh, he's dynamic.
Kinda, like, throwing him under
in the
bus,
regular
like
season.
It just to overshadow it, right? Like he's a great player. His contract in itself,
it's
right,
good.
6.75 million. Good. He's there till 2022. Like he's actually a good player to trade,
mm-hmm.
and someone that a lot of teams would be looking for. So, you as a Calgary fan, who would you be looking for, or what would you be looking for in return for him?
Oh, I don't think
it's a tough question.
It's tough because there's so many variables that go
just
into.
Just throwing them on the spot, but yeah.
Yeah, thanks a lot. It's I'm good
sorry,
to get on the spot.
If I can step in just for a second.
Okay, and then I'll answer that.
What do you think? Like, what type of player, as far as the core?
That's better.
Do you
what's
think
worth?
The Flames are missing?
Oh, that's even better. Yeah. Okay.
What are we missing?
It's tough to name a player. But, like, what? So you move Johnny in, like, within.
Oh, we're
what
fine,
the
not
top
even asking for
six
a
specific
what
is
name.
The top
well, we need a. We need a. I. Maybe I'm stone crazy, and I'll probably get some Flames fans that'll tweet me nasty shit for saying this. But I'm all right with that. They do it anyways. I think I'm okay with Lindholm as our first line center. I really am, I think.
So you've got Lindholm as your first line center.
Yeah.
You've got Monahan as your second line center.
Backlund is my third.
Backlund is your third.
And Ryan is my fourth. Huh, tell me that's not good.
Yeah. So you don't have the top end elite first line center, but you've got four solid centers there.
Yeah.
Hardworking guys. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what type? I'm assuming your defense is solid, unless you want to.
I love my defense. Don't. I'm not.
Yeah. You're not
defense.
Fucking with that.
No.
So what type of winger do you bring in? Do you bring in a like well-rounded power forward, a two-way guy.
You know who I've always kind of, I don't know. You know who really kind of just intrigues me?
Who's that?
Morgan Frost from Philadelphia. I think we trade Johnny Hockey.
I like Morgan Frost.
A package.
I don't even know much about that guy. So you guys go to town on this discussion.
Well, I don't even know how much we got to go to town on it. I think you could, for Gaudreau's, I mean, it's no secret he wants to be, I shouldn't say that. I hear multiple things. I hear he wants to be in Calgary, but then I hear he doesn't. And I hear, you know, it's like any, we're like any other market. You hear so much stuff, you just don't know.
It's the same thing as Taylor Hall, man. Like the amount of times I've heard how much change Johnny Hockey does.
Yeah.
It's like, I have no idea if that's true or not.
I have no idea.
If it is, the dude does a lot of cocaine.
Yeah, a lot. Because I hear it every day.
Sorry,
who knows if it's true, but
just to preface Morgan Frost, John, just because you don't know him too, okay? He's a left shooting center, okay, out of Aurora, Ontario. He's Canadian. He plays for Philadelphia now, as you said, Brad. 27th overall in the first round.
How old is he, sir?
He's 20 years old.
I got it right here. Okay. 20 years old.
Yeah.
So still on an ELC, okay.
Yeah, he played for the
Sault Ste. Marie,
Greyhounds. My God, sorry, 112 points in 67 games for this high season. Okay, and he played 20 games for the Philadelphia Flyers, 20 games played, 7 points, and 41 games played for their AHL teams, the Phantoms, with 29 points. So he's a decent prospect.
I put him
even higher than like we would have rated Yamamoto as, and he's in his first professional season, right, in the AHL.
Yep.
He's already scoring at a higher rate than Yamamoto was at that point in time. So, yeah, as a trade prospect.
You obviously haven't had that, like, legitimate breakout like Yamamoto
for sure. But
he's
definitely, like, a first-round pick, and Philadelphia's first-round pick. But so he's worth something, but he's a late-round pick and something that you could work for. I think that's definitely
the target. It would be a package deal, obviously. It wouldn't just for be sure. him. Sure. But he's a guy that I've always just kind of had on my radar. I'm not trying to sound like I want to like throw Johnny Hockey away, but you get
he's
guys.
A flawed player.
Well, like, here's the deal: you get not. There's hockey players that get you to the playoffs.
Than David, though.
Shut up. What did you just say?
I thought Gaudreau was better than McDavid.
Who the hell said that? Let's not talk about that. I don't write that shit.
It was satire.
I've seen more than one.
Okay, but we've seen so much shit from Edmonton that's not even funny.
No.
But
I'm just
how many? You got players that get you to the playoffs, and you got players that win you in the playoffs. And Gaudreau doesn't. He might get you to the playoffs, but he ain't going to win you anything in the playoffs. The only year we saw Johnny Hockey anything remotely good in the playoffs was his first year, his rookie year, and that's because he was trying to earn a spot on the damn team. Since then, he's been an absolute 100% no-show, and we can't live with that. We'll never win a cup with that.
Well, I mean, and this isn't right, and I know, John, you played higher-level sports just like – I mean, not higher level. We played higher level high school or college, university sports, right? Not the name of the teams, but
yeah.
Me and you kind of seen how much it takes to like to be a part of the team and push through and keep building on where you are a part of. Sorry, not to compare ourselves to obviously that level of a player, but.
I'm pretty sure I can ragdoll Johnny Hockey, just saying. I think so too.
Like, I was using a 50-weight fucking stick. But, I mean, I can understand a player being at the top of his level and maybe getting a bit complacent, whether that's something that he is mentally, like, doing to himself or
there's a lot of goddamn pressure on a guy like that, man.
For
like,
sure, man. I'm not trying to single out.
No, I'm agreeing with you. Yeah. Like, that's like that pressure can weigh on someone. Like,
yeah.
He's a guy that's you guys haven't been able to win a round in a long time. He was a guy that blew out of the scene as your next
leader,
phenom and has been a very good high producing player, but has never been able to take a team over the top.
But don't
that weighs on a guy.
But, we're not trying to shit on Calgary, Brad.
No, you're trying to defend him, and that's not right either.
No, but I think that it has the makings to be a change of scenery trade, right?
Yeah.
Like, I'm not saying Johnny Hockey's not a good player.
It's a Taylor Hall trade, but probably your GM will do a better job.
I'd fucking hope so. Well, I don't hope so, but you just,
I mean, yeah, I hope you do a worse job, actually. But,
why does my gut tell me that Taylor Hall ends up in Calgary?
That would be fucking wild.
I could actually see that happening.
You know, I kind of want that to happen just because it would build the
Shut up, John. Don't say that shit, because I don't know if I want
Taylor Hall.
No, No, I don't. You know why?
Here's the thing. I don't think Taylor Hall gets paid like people.
Dude, if you get Taylor Hall, you get a first like overall draft pick, like guaranteed.
Yeah, boom.
What is it? 7 out of 9 times. That's good percentages. Let's go.
Hey, you guys.
Not bad, but Jesus.
Okay, if I can get him for but at like $3 million less than what he's probably gonna get, like you guys, he thinks. Well, I don't know. What after this year in the salary cap?
Yeah, after this year,
he might get $4 million. For, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. he might be taking a pay cut.
He might get a halfway cut. But
yeah.
You know, if it's true that Arizona offered him what I've heard, like he should have signed that sumbitch right away because he might be hurting because of it. But I don't know why my gut tells me that everywhere he's gone, he's never done anything.
He had his one heart season where he was absolutely dominant. And other than that, he's been a top 5 winger as far as production and like talent-wise.
I'm scared to death to get him. He might win us the cup, but I'm scared to death.
Can I compare him to another player?
Don't say
this might be a little bit controversial, but PK Subban.
Oh, yeah. I don't want to go down that road. I would, you know what? I got to ask the question.
What's the road? What's the road?
Oh, the road is that I got asked the question about 6 months ago. Is there any player that could get traded to your team where you'd consider changing your favorite teams? And I named PK Subban. And I would never leave Calgary. Don't get me wrong, but
that's a question and a half.
If we got freaking PK Subban, I would be so irate.
I feel like as soon as you brought up that road, Brad started having fucking nom flies.
I did.
I saw him like start scratching his eye, being like, "What the fuck did you just say?"
Oh, I don't even want to go down that road with you.
I think it's like Hall is interesting because he can be such an electric player and he's such a good skater, man. Like that guy can drive so hard wide. And just hit the net at such a high speed, but it's another thing where it's almost not the same problems Johnny has because I think Hall is a little bit more well-rounded, especially physically, but they're flawed players. And you're never going to get like a completely unflawed player. That's not what I mean. But I think like is Taylor Hall – is he a winner? Can he be a winner? Like, other than his one hard season, he's played on some shitty teams. So I don't want to drag the guy down, but...
I think Taylor Hall is absolutely a great player if he is a complimentary player in a top three or as a leading role on a second line, right? He cannot be the, like, star of a team, which is what his salary is showing is going to be.
He's 28 years old already, 2 years.
I think he's a star.
And he hasn't proved shit.
But that's the thing is, has he been, he's been unable to, like, he's played for 2 decent teams right now. 3.
So what would you pay
him? I wouldn't even say, I'd say 2. So his last year in Edmonton, we weren't god-awful. We had a lot of talent and kind of a logjam, and he didn't really fit in a lot of plays.
You had no defense.
Didn't really fit in with McDavid. And then he comes to Arizona.
Yeah, we had no defense.
There's no
sample.
And we didn't for a lot of years there. But
also, they're both small samples. But
Brad,
it's like,
to be fair, too, he did not fit in with our offense. He was consistently like not clicking on offensive breakouts. It's not like it was a 5-person like not fitting into
the only player he kind of clicked with, if I remember correctly, Kyle, was Draisaitl. Was it not? That they kind of got a little bit of chemistry.
Right? Like him and McDavid didn't click together. Him and Nuge somewhat clicked together. Dry and him somewhat but it was like a mismatch nonstop, him and everywhere. And that's why fans were calling out for him to go. And it was only Everly after the like shitty playoffs that they were calling for him to go too, right? Like,
don't you guys think though, like Chyka though in Arizona's got his freaking hands tied behind his back, like he's gotta fucking resign this guy or that guy's gonna get fired, man.
They gave up so goddamn.
Oh, he has to. Like, yeah. I don't remember if, John, you were, but after that trade happened, like, I was praising Jacob for everything he's done in Arizona, right?
Look at their cap friendly, though. They're fucking jacked, man. They got Nick Schmaltz making 5.85. Like, they got some bad, I don't know. No, he's not a bad player, but you know what I'm saying, though.
There's been contracts that have been thrown out, like even like Clayton Keller. As much as I love the dude, like his contract has been kind of thrown at the player in expectation that he's going to be a better player than what he is right now, right, and play up to that contract. and even above it, kind of be that Draisaitl if we're going to play them.
Yeah, they were right? When they signed him, they thought he was going to be a franchise cornerstone. Now he's looking like a really good player. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Or a good player, and that's a tough thing. So looking back at the buyers, I feel like...
Can we touch on Brad's point about, like, Hall and just, like, what he's going to, like, should Jacob be paying back on that? Like, I think that does look back on John if he... Sorry, not John, you, but John Jacob. If he doesn't rebuy him,
he's put himself in a lose-lose situation. That's kind of where I was going, where it's like, you look at Columbus of the year before and at Arizona this year. Both teams were built through a lot of drafting and a lot of prospects and being kind of decent teams and hanging around, but never being able to push over the edge. And then you kind of started seeing that they were inching towards maybe being able to have a shot, and they went all in, and then it backfired. And who knows how the season plays out, if it does play out with Arizona. And, I mean, Columbus ended up sweeping Tampa. But it's like that's a lot of risk, and these GMs put themselves in lose-lose situations. Columbus has actually rebounded very well this year that nobody saw coming.
The only thing is different there, though, John, is, and I agree with you, but the only thing different in Columbus, though, like, he didn't really freaking have a choice. Like, he had to, like, shit or get off the pot. Because he knew no one to sign, and so it was like, well, fuck it. Like, I got my one shot this year. Where Chyka didn't have he didn't have to do that. Like,
for sure.
Columbus kind of
I don't think Columbus did either. Sold those players and those prospects to rebuild?
Well, the comparison I would say just to Brad is that I think that John Chyka is really, like, trying to make a statement for himself and trying to own that market, and that's the reason that he's making those moves.
Fired.
I don't think it has anything to do with him being on the movement block, but just going back, like we talked earlier about, like, Arizona being on the fringe and, like, holding on to that spot. Like, did they own it, right? Just, like, in an offhanded joke. But, like, there's a reason that they brought him in, and him being kind of someone who's taking new moves. He's a young person and bringing in those ideas, and him bringing in, sorry, I know you're laughing, Brad, but like him bringing in Phil Kessel, like that was kind of extreme as much
kind
as a
stupid.
Good trade it was. Yeah. And now, right. But like, it was a good idea, right? Like the Datsyuk trade was a good idea, and it like somewhat worked out, right? Like there's small moves that have been made where you're like, I understand what this guy's doing. It just hasn't worked out to how him and to even relate it to Toronto, right? Like Kyle Dubas, what this, oh my God, guys, I've been losing words all night here. I'm sorry. But like looking at the numbers, boys, I'm sorry.
Okay, let you drown.
Okay,
too.
I'm gonna bail you out here. Here's the deal, though, you guys. And you're gonna. I'm afraid to ask this question because I might really lose it tonight.
Don't be. We're wrapping up, so this is the time to ask it.
So
we got all the time in the world.
Are you more?
I'm up at 5 a.m. We do not have all the time in the world.
You guys, like freaking Arizona. Like, do they scare you more than Calgary?
At the beginning of the year, yes, they did.
Fuck you.
Really? I think at the beginning of the year, I think that's fair. I don't.
At the beginning of the year,
like,
we were the Western Conference champ. We had the freaking. What?
At the beginning of the year, Calgary wasn't doing shit.
No, but we were. Coming into the year, we didn't know we weren't going to do shit.
You guys are coming off a year where everybody overachieved.
Yeah,
I know. Listen to my first podcast. I was the first one to promote that. Listen, hey, back the trains up here, Calgary fans. We can't have everybody.
The same shit that happened in your fan base as when we made the playoffs. The
watch
year
out next year for you
all
guys.
All of a sudden, it was like going into the preseason, and people are like, "Watch out next year."
You guys better watch out next year. You guys got too many guys on career years this year. Watch out, man.
That happened literally 2 years ago.
I know.
We've dealt with this.
I know. You guys have dealt with it four times over. That,
but, like, we've gone through it so many times where it's
who had career years other than, like, really high talent?
I am giving you shit, John. Don't make me write them off.
No, I'm going to
you know who needs to, though? You know who needs to count them? Is Vancouver.
Yeah.
Vancouver needs to count.
To go in. That's a team that's trying to go all in too quickly.
Suicide watch.
And I hope it fucking blows up in the face.
Suicide watch in Vancouver. Watch their Twitter feed. I don't know shit about Twitter, and I got to get better on it, but those guys are nuts. And next year,
the cesspool is the first thing I'll say.
Next year, when
it's awful sometimes.
Next year, when that team realizes that they had career years out of 13 players, that shit doesn't happen 2 years in a row. I'm telling you right now.
The thing is, though, too, is they're a very young team. So, like, you look at guys like JT Miller, and it's like, does that happen again?
Hey, they might have to pin their hopes on Thatcher Demko next year.
They got to re-sign Markstrom, though.
What if he says $9 million? Do you re-sign him?
And, I mean, Demko's looked good in small sample sizes. So
and look bad in small samples.
Not a $9 million. I don't pay any goalie in the league $9 million.
I don't either.
I don't
pay him
the max
seven.
You pay any goalie.
6'8".
Yeah?
Yeah, I agree with that.
Like,
yeah,
even like Carey Price, you don't give him 7'1".
6'8".
Carey Price is like, I want 7'5".
Sorry,
no. You let him walk?
You let him walk. 6'8". That's my top. That's it. I'm off.
Carey Price, I would negotiate.
I am. Nope. 6'8".
Like,
nope.
Vasilevsky, I would negotiate. But yeah, I would be like...
Vasilevsky was the next goalie I was going to bring up.
I love that guy.
John, remember we talked back, and Brad, you might respect it, but we talked back at like that Brian Burke kind of style of approach at negotiations where you just leave that number on the table and you're like, that's what we're leaving you with. You want to go somewhere else? That's fine. You know, you want to go to
do you guys
Florida
like Berkey?
And go get $10 million? Have fun
fuck
getting a
no.
team behind you when you get $10 million because you're a fucking idiot getting paid that as a goalie.
You like
you know,
Burke?
Like,
you guys don't like Burke?
Were you just surprised that we don't like Brian Burke?
No,
Brian Burke is like
God.
The biggest Flames homer I've ever seen.
I fucking love
life.
That guy.
Of course, well, I'm sure you do. Like,
fuck. He's great.
That's the whole point is that you love him.
Brad, do you like Gene Principe?
You know, he's greasy.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah,
of course you don't. Okay, here, I got to ask Brad, and on the topic of this as we wrap this up, with our bracket, is there a player, media personality, coach, management, from any point, doesn't have to be recent, that you still hold like an unreasonable biggest grudge for?
From Edmonton?
Anybody from, what's that?
No.
Oh,
and it could be recent, too. Like, you don't have to pick
like
someone.
Wait,
John Edmonton or just a manager?
No, for Brad. Like,
yeah,
anybody.
Like,
general, okay.
Anybody?
Could be Brad Marchand or fucking whoever.
I'm not a, I
Vinny
like.
Vinny LeCavalier or something?
No. Like, I'm not going to dig deep that far back. Even though I could.
So you let go of grudges, eh? You don't hold ill will to any of those
poor
guys.
No, I don't give a shit about. I mean, I do because I like fucking tore my rotator cuff jumping off the couch when we beat San Jose. But you know, I don't like get too worked. No, the only media guys that I really hate, and I shouldn't. I really hate the guys in Boston. Fucking hate Boston.
He's
I don't
play-by-play guy. That is like the most biased commentator.
He
I've
is
ever
such
seen
an this. Unprofessional loser that I don't know. The Edmonton guys are like I think you're trying to bait me into like tripping an Edmonton guy.
No, I wasn't baiting you at all. It was just the topic of our bracket. I was just curious if you had somebody that you were like this specific guy, like fuck that guy or not.
I've never really been a big Kevin Bieksa fan, even though I like listening to him talk. I don't like him.
It's been a very tough, like, controversial thing listening to Bieksa and Kessler's podcast.
It's kind of funny.
What
think
if
they
I told you that Bieksa is going to be the next guy. Don Cherry?
No, don't start shit like that. Do you guys know something funny? Guys. Ever since Don Cherry got fired, shit's went wrong in this world. You know that, right? Yes,
no. Honestly, good point. But I mean, like, I don't know if he's who to blame.
I don't know.
Maybe
just fucking
say those people that are who to blame.
You got those people.
I'm just kidding.
How about this guy? Ever since Tobias Reeder scored a goal, the world has not been the same.
Even better. Let's go back. Let's go way back.
No, that's when everything went haywire, you guys. I'm not joking. Start looking at it.
It's been a while here. But anyway,
this is the best conspiracy theory I've ever heard in my life.
Oh, you
can post that to our conspiracy.
I can't. Almost spat out his water right there. I watched
I can't drink anymore on these episodes. I'm done.
No, we appreciate it. And hey, I got to say, too, we kind of mentioned in our last episode, but my laptop is still having big issues. So similar to our last guest, we really appreciate you stepping up and jumping on with us as well as editing for us.
I like helping.
We really appreciate it, man.
I like helping.
Yeah, I do still edit.
Yeah, stuff. Kyle's going to edit
no,
this.
No, sorry, but
he sends me a file and I push edit
fucking
it.
Record.
You get the same shit to Andy. I still do the editing.
Hey, Kyle.
I said helping out editing.
Kyle, you know what? It's fun to bash on you, Kyle.
It's
fun.
You're like the whipping boy of the show.
I know. Yeah.
I heard you talk about me in that goddamn Patreon podcast.
I need to get a whipping boy next
year. Fair call out. I have not given credit where credit is due, Kyle. You have stepped the fuck up. So thank you very much.
I need to get a whipping boy next year. I gotta get someone. We gotta have four guys on this next year because you guys teaming up. I mean, this shit's getting old, man. I'm beat down, man. I don't know if I can do another year.
I would love to talk shit to another one of you. So go for
yeah,
it.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
I got this
you
guy.
Hey, you said your kid's 15 or whatever.
No,
right?
Yeah, but you know
what? I'll talk some shit to some 15-year-old.
You guys could probably talk that guy.
He'd probably talk better shit than we would.
No,
yeah,
you
I was going to say, you're going to throw some like new young slang that we're going to be like,
I can't.
Have no comeback to.
I can't let him on the show. I think you guys could probably talk him into being an Oilers fan or some shit like
oh.
that.
Oh.
I mean,
good point. Bring him on.
No, I can't. I can't do it, man. I gotta find some diehard Flames fan.
Come up to Edmonton. We got healthcare. Yeah.
No, oh, I've already taught him on that how that works.
Okay, we are. Let's wrap it up there, boys. That was a lot of fun, though. We do. We really appreciate you coming on, Brad. And that was. We have to stay in touch, man.
It was a good time, Brad.
I love every single time you come on. You're honestly like, dude, you are my favorite person, probably in the entire universe. Like, I love seeing your face every single time.
I just go so you guys can tug each other off.
Yeah, no.
If you want to, like, just peace out. Yeah, it's all good.
Tonight was a little bit different episode because, you know, we didn't really have, like, the standard structure like we normally run. So, you know, I figured... I'm like a pretend like I'm going to go to the bar tonight and just have a few drinks and talk to my Oilers friends.
Well, not that anybody could hear it, but we had a good, like, hour-long conversation that was, like,
fringing
on an argument the entire time. Like, it was a good bar talk where we're like,
okay,
we're
sipping
some beers, let's get into this.
It was some politics, for sure.
Oh, you guys, it's always fun talking Flames Oilers.
Hockey Podcast Network, which Flames Unfiltered is very proud to be a part of, has a great podcast called Ice Analytics. It's a deep dive into hockey analytics, statistical analysis, and how it affects your favorite team. Standings, trades, signings, it's all on Ice Analytics on the Hockey Podcast Network.
Every team, everywhere, the Hockey Podcast Network.
Hey, Flames fans, short version of Flames news, because... obviously, things are very, very quiet in the hockey world. We're hoping we have hockey in the near future. But here's the news we got over the week. Flames prospect Dustin Wolf named to the WHL All-Star Team. Not the All-Star Team. Named a WHL All-Star. Boy, I better get that straight. Not a lot of news. I better get what I got straight. Great season he had in Everett this year. This guy was a late, late pick in the draft last year, and boy, oh boy, did he have a good year. And is showing Flames fans that just maybe we have a goalie coming down the pipeline we can be excited about. On some sad news, former Flames scout Tom Webster passed away at the age of 71. Our prayers go out to the family. It's been a sad year in the hockey world this year with another untimely death, and our prayers go out to the Webster family.
Get all your Flames Unfiltered podcasts, team news, team updates, and highlights at flamesunfiltered.com.
All right, Flames fans, this coronavirus continues, and talking about some serious topics. During our conversation we had with John and Kyle, earlier on in the podcast, while we were in the bar room, we talked about the horrible medical situation that Colby Cave was facing. The Edmonton Oiler has suffered a brain bleed and was in a hospital in Toronto in a medically induced coma. On Saturday morning, we learned that Colby had passed away at the age of 25. Our prayers go out to the family and his friends, his teammates, and his fans. The hockey world is behind you. We'd also like to send our condolences and our strength to everyone battling the coronavirus. and all of those who have lost their lives due to the COVID-19 pandemic. A big thanks goes out to all our grocery store workers. I think they are the forgotten heroes of this. Their hard work every single day keeping the stocks, shelves stocked, and our semi and trucking drivers who bring us the goods every day. Without all their hard work, we can't put food on the table for our families. It's not overlooked. It's some scary times. The hockey world and world as itself is going through some difficult times. We hope we can get back to normalcy with as few lives lost as possible. We hope you enjoyed our a little bit different, more lighthearted, good time show today. We hope it was escape from reality, because reality is scary right now. That's what we aim to do as we keep doing the podcast as the season's on pause. It's time to step away and get a little bit of break, and we all need that. Have a good week. We'll be back next week for some more Flames talk.
Get connected. Flames Unfiltered can be found on Twitter, at Flame Unfiltered. And also make sure you check out our Facebook page, at Flames Unfiltered. Check out host Brad Brood on Twitter, at Brad Brood. And if you like what you hear, rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. You can find Flames Unfiltered on all the major podcast players. Consider subscribing to Inside Edge Hockey News on Patreon. That'll get you exclusive content and much more. Thanks again, and enjoy the hockey.
Thanks for tuning in to Flames Unfiltered. Check back for more action-packed Calgary Flames talk.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network on Twitter at HockeyPodNet. New episodes every Monday and Thursday. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
This has been a production of Inside Edge Hockey News Radio, brought to you by the Hockey Podcast Network. This production is copyrighted and distributed by the Inside Edge Hockey Media Group.